This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chiseled and has a big physique, and he's 6'7", he's Jonathan Kuminga, and he's athletic. You see the dunks, You want more and you expect more of them. Even though, again, I go to the birth certificate, as Guru likes to say. He's 22 years old. So like, and he did come out, he came straight out of high school and started playing, and he was a very raw prospect. 4 years into it though, I can't be looking at you as a raw prospect anymore.
But he was great. But hear me out. It's as if the 2 months of him being great, not good, great, didn't exist.
Well, it's because it didn't translate to a lot of wins.
Yeah, but that's why. Did win some games, and because of
but
him,
you were a 500 team. But you were a 500 team.
Okay, but you would have been a way below 500 team if you didn't. Like, so that's where, as we balance this thing out, I get frustrated because it's like, oh, so those 2 months didn't matter at all?
No, it mattered at the time. It mattered at the time, but not enough. We react to new information, Joe Shasky. You bring in Jimmy Butler, and now you truly see how important a guy like Jimmy is to the outlook of this team.
Well, Jimmy's an all-timer. Jimmy's a Hall of Famer.
He is.
JK falls really short of him. Yeah, and that's really difficult.
It's not a fair comparison, but it's even more so the leap we saw from, let's compare Jonathan Kuminga, and we felt like there was a gap between him and Wiggins,
uh-huh.
And then we saw the gap between Wiggins and Jimmy Butler, and it was just like, oh my God. So there's levels to these gaps is what I'm saying is, and can a JK even get to the level of an Andrew Wiggins? That seems like a massive gap to even get to at this point. So there's frustration baked into it, yeah, where it's just like, okay, I don't see that progression.
But this is where I get frustrated when we talk about Wiggins. It's like everything goes back to the two great months, right? That'd be like me going like, hey, we got to find our next Cody Ross. It's like, dog, that Cody Ross moment was incredible. You were so lucky that you hit the genie bottle and got the two series from Cody Ross. Do you know how lucky the Warriors were to get the greatest 3 months of Andrew Wiggins' career? So lucky, okay? Let's not all pretend like he didn't drive you completely crazy for the year prior, the year after that. Like, yes, you got the couple best months out of him, but Wiggins was a mixed bag too. We act like he was all-star Wiggs for four straight years.
No, I was trying to trade him last year.
We all were frustrated. We got to trade this guy
because the vibes were just
we
all-time
We act like
bad.
JK's the only inconsistent player to ever play for the Warriors. Like, no. I got plenty of guys that have been inconsistent on this Warrior team.
What are the expectations of Jonathan Kuminga? Quite frankly, what should the expectations now Jonathan Kuminga should be?
I just don't think we even know what that is.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out as a collective here. We have a very smart fan base, so let's all try to work on this. Let's all come up with realistic expectations for this guy, because it does seem out of whack right now for whatever reason. 888-957-9570 is the numbers. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. And we are broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Joe Shasky, you chuckle. What's up?
Well, no, he's in such a no-win situation. All the best role players, right? All the best role players are usually seasoned veterans. Very few are rookies, right? We're expecting him to be Drew Holiday. And it's like, dude, do you know how many games of basketball Drew Holiday has played? Like, it doesn't matter if Drew Holiday scores 25 or 6, because I know what he's bringing to the table.
He's 34 years old. Yeah.
Okay, think of how many big playoff series Drew, and as A, he was one of the best players on New Orleans when he was there with Anthony Davis.
He was.
He was their second best player.
Always been elite defensively.
Always. Yeah. All right. He knows what he brings to the table. It is like anything he gives you offensively for the Boston Celtics is like gravy, right? Yep. He knows exactly what his role is. We're asking him to be some version of Al Horford and Drew Holiday and Iguodala for this Warrior team. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Pump the brakes, everybody. Like, just right now, let's simplify this. I want you to be in the dunker spot. I want you to occasionally take an outside shot when the ball comes your way. I want you to just be tenacious on the perimeter, and I want you to box out like you've never boxed out before. If you do those things, I don't even care how much you score. I know we'll be getting out in transition, clearing rebounds, and the ball's going to find you, and you're going to dunk.
Let's go to Alan San Pablo. He wants to talk about Jonathan Kuminga expectations. What are the expectations of Jonathan Kuminga? And more importantly, what should the expectations of Jonathan Kuminga be for this team going forward? 888-957-9570 is the number. Again, you can call or text that number. I want to tell everyone, you can call or text it. We have the text line open, 888-957-9570. What's up, Al? You're on Spadoni and Shasky. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Thank you, guys. Yeah, I think the expectations are way too high, and I think I'm guilty of it too, but it should be much lower. Just think about it. If he was playing 4 years of college basketball and coming out into the NBA, you would expect more. But he's got something better. He's got 4 year education playing in the NBA with some of the best players ever. I think that's a better choice. If he had to choose it, he'd take that route. But yet, he's only 22 years old, so he's just now getting 4 years. He needs more time to develop and to become better. But I don't know if the Warriors can afford it, only because of the fact that he's going to be a restricted free agent. The Warriors may not be able to afford to watch him continue to grow. I think that maybe when he's about 26, 27, you'll see Jonathan Kuminga at his very best, because of the fact of his inexperience. But I don't know if the Warriors can afford to do that.
It's a good call, Al. I appreciate it. And that's where I'm getting at with this. You have 11 games. You have 11 games to go here. Like, Steve Kerr, when we're talking about the relationship between Steve Kerr and how much is this on him to put him in a position to succeed, Jonathan Kuminga, that is. Like, the patience level has got to be waning when you see a guy like, and he was camping. And again, I'm not comparing the two players because that's not fair to either of them. Like a Gui Santos, who was playing very well in his role. I just want to know what the role is for J.K. now.
But that's the problem, is I feel like
it's different.
He puts up the counting stats, and people are like, yeah, but you're not doing the little things. He does the little things. Oh, look, he's not putting up the counting stats.
It's never good enough.
No, let's look at Podziemski for an example. And Podziemski's putting up a lot of numbers right now in terms of points. He's actually shooting a lot better. Yeah. He's got the ball in his hands a lot. He's putting up some assist numbers. He's getting some nice rebounds. He's a turnstile on defense.
He gets absolutely hunted on defense.
Now, what does he do? He occasionally gets a block charge call, yep, right, where they get a free possession. But he makes up for it in these other areas, right? And it feels like all that stuff, like the fact that he literally creates chaos on your defensive end almost on every possession because he can't stay in front of someone. And that causes tension on the other four players on the floor rotating and constantly helping. That never gets talked about.
You can get away. No, it will get talked about because you just skip past it during regular season games. Come a series,
sure,
you're going to be talking about
it. Look, I like Pods. I want to make this very clear. But we gloss over the huge negative hole in his game, yeah, and we're like, wow, look at all these other little things that they bring to the table. As a ball stopper offensively, that is the thing that frustrates Warrior fans to no end with Kuminga. But yet when he does alter a shot, when he does play good closeout defense, we don't even bring it up because it's not a counting stat. And I feel like this guy just can't win. He can't win with a certain segment of the fan base. Look, do I want more from him? Of course, yeah, I do. But it's just, I feel like he's caught between a rock and a hard place. Be in the 26 minutes you're out there, you better score 20 points a game. You better shoot the three ball well. You better play great defense. You better get a couple of blocks. You better put seven or eight rebounds. Like, we're asking this guy to be one of the best two-way players in the game.
Well, and people are probably wondering. Are probably wondering and joining us right now, and they're like, hey, it's 9 o'clock. Why are we talking about Jonathan Kuminga when they had a horror? Why was Jonathan Kuminga the main focus when he had a bad loss to Atlanta, 124-150
in the final? When everyone didn't play well.
No one played well. And Jimmy Butler, I know his stats say he played well, but I thought he left a lot to be desired on the offensive end at some times as well. 25 points for Jimmy, and for J.K., he had 16, 6 of 14 shooting for him, just two boards and two assists. But the reason I'm talking about Jonathan Kuminga, we are today, so much is because so much has been made about him joining this roster and how important of a piece he is for this team to truly go on a deep run. You only have 11 games left, and the conversation was when Steph got injured that it was a potential blessing in disguise going on this road trip and seeing Jimmy with JK and then trying to build some chemistry. Well, we didn't see it in that one game. Will we see it tomorrow against the Miami Heat if Steph can't go? By the way, if you're just joining us again, Stephen Curry did make the trip out to Miami. Don't know if he's going to play tomorrow or not. Should they start rushing him back after that loss? It was a very concerning loss and disappointing loss. Or was that just a one-off? 888-957-9570. Let's go to Quay in Oakland, Joe Shasky. He wants to join in the Kuminga talk. What's up, Quay? You're on with Spadoni and Shasky on the Morning Roast. How you doing, man?
Hey, what up, dog?
What's up, bro? How you doing, man?
Hey, so I was never really big on Kuminga, to be honest. I know he had the athleticism and all that stuff, but, you know, in today's game, everybody's dribbling and shooting. Like, I even had a friend who's, like, a diehard Kuminga, and he has turned the corner, like, this year, saying he just doesn't see it no more, you know?
All right.
And, like the threes that he settles for is, like, drives me crazy when he settles for threes.
One sec. Here's the thing on the three-pointers, because we'll look at the box score or we'll look at a missed shot and we'll be like, oh, what's JK doing? If I counted the amount of times someone threw him a grenade, meaning a pass.
You love the grenade.
Because it's like 4 seconds on the clock. No,
can
but
we get Bruno Mars? I'll catch a grenade
Carter,
for you
Carter,
on the other
are
side.
Are all shots created equal?
No, they're not. We
you
know,
played at a high level.
I know
level.
What you're talking about, Joe.
It's 4 seconds to go on the shot clock.
I like the grenade from Jersey
and
Shore.
And no one's moving, and it's like, here's the ball. And JK's like, well, I guess I gotta fork this up because if I put the ball on the floor, we're either gonna get a 24-second violation or I'm gonna settle for a worse shot. Look, I don't love the threes either, all right? But we act like all of these shots are created. They're not. And I look at the combinations that are on the floor.
Thanks, Quay.
No one's making plays for anyone. And we're settling for really bad shots late in the shot clock. That's not just a JK problem.
No, well, that's a Jimmy Butler thing too. When Jimmy got, I feel like, has to, you know, they can pass it to Jimmy at the very end. He's like, oh, Jimmy, you got kind of a
exactly.
mid-range, right?
He had one the other day. He pump fake. You guys were talking about. He like pump fake. This is Butler. And had to like throw it off the backboard. And you know what? No one questioned it because we're like, oh, yeah, well, that was a grenade. You had to get a shot up with the shot clock cooking down. We're so unreasonable with watching the game.
Our expectations too high on Jonathan Kuminga. We're going to wrap this conversation up on the other side. One more segment to go before handing it off to Steiny and Guru, 888-957-9570. Plus, do we start thinking about rushing Stephen Curry back after that loss? Does that recalibrate your thoughts on Steph being a part of this team going forward and not giving him all that time off? Again, they play tomorrow, but then they have a couple days off in Miami again. Back Friday in New Orleans, so he would have had an entire week off if he does not play tomorrow. Do you think about that, or do you rush him back? 888-957-9570. That's what's coming up, brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Spring into action at Valvoline Instant Oil Change, your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Stay in your car while friendly technicians check oil, batteries, lights, tires, and more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. All vehicle types, welcome.
Listening to the Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, we're all recycling. That's what we do here. We're in the Bay, in California. We do like to recycle. What's up, Steve Kerr?
I was driving around the lake yesterday. I was on my way to pick up some coffees, and I look over and I see this recycling truck, and who's driving? It's my boy Della.
Oh, the
boy
Della.
So shout out to the Recology drivers that are out there.
I love it. And you know what? The kids love them too. Every time a recycling or garbage truck, they wave at them. It's great.
And I looked at him and I go, Sunday? You're working on Sunday? And he just did the money time, money time.
That's right. It's like the postal workers like trying to get extra.
He didn't do that. I'm teasing. But I was surprised to see him on a Sunday.
By the way, Steve Kerr, you heard him in the rejoin there. 3 o'clock today with Willard and Dibs Appointment Radio. Each and every week, Steve Kerr joining them. By the way, and we have like full phone lines, Joe Shasky. A lot of people are fired up with this Jonathan Kuminga conversation. Are the expectations too high on Jonathan Kuminga? 888-957-9570. And if they are, what should the expectations be?
I think his own expectations are too high, too, at times.
My expectations of an event I went to this past weekend, and again, it was a little diatribe. I'll get right back into the Warriors real quick. But I just wanted to give a shout-out to the Oakland Roots, and I went to the Coliseum this past weekend. And, you know, when the news came out and, you know, the finality of the last games at the Coli for the A's came to fruition, it was a lot of sadness. And it was like, man, like, Raiders are gone, the A's are gone, like, the Coli's just there, and I get it. It's a dump, but it's our mm-hmm. dump. And I live in Oakland. My kids were born in Oakland, and I love it. And I was watching that Warriors game. I was like, man, the Warriors aren't there anymore either. It's like no one's there anymore. But the fact that the Roots got to play their first game and there were 26,000 fans there. It was great. It was awesome. It's USL, so it's United Soccer League. It's like a tier below MLS. So, but it's professional soccer. And it's soccer in California and America, which again, it's not the English Premier League. I get that. But I just saw a lot of people, all different backgrounds, ethnicities, whatever. It was just so Bay Area. And the fan base that showed up there and had a blast, whether it was with your wife, with your kids, like I was. I had baby Nora, baby Benjamin. It was just such a fun atmosphere, and I highly recommend it. Again, if you're trying to get that itch again, like you got with the A's or with the Raiders, and again, give soccer a chance. If it's not your cup of tea, doesn't even have to be. Go out there, have fun, kick it with the friends, hang out, learn something about the game. I don't know. It was fun, though. Good date night, good opportunity. I had a blast, and I just wanted to say, the Coliseum is not dead, Joe Shasky. Oh, no. It is still alive and kicking. And that Bart Walk is alive and kicking.
Nice.
And it's one of the best. Tailgate. They were tailgating there, too. And tailgating at the Coli is still elite, whether it's soccer, baseball, or football.
So, expectations. A lot of kids in eighth grade found out over the last 2 or 3 weeks on Friday what school they're going to go to. Either public school, private school, whatever, right? And I'm a big believer in, like, you've got to be flexible, right, with whatever your choice is, and you have to be realistic, and you have to understand that not all situations are going to be a great fit for you, and also, you get in what you get out. Now, I'm a guy who went to multiple schools, and I failed at multiple schools.
I knew I was going to community college immediately. I didn't apply to any 4 years. I knew. I was like, I don't know what I want to do. I don't want to pigeonhole myself into a four-year university when I don't know how to do. I worked, and then I went to junior college, which is okay for a lot of people that are thinking about that right now. There's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, but if you show up at junior college and you think you're just going to waltz your way through it, right? You get in what you put out.
It's the same general ed courses you're going to be taking at a four-year anyways. It's the same thing. It's just the first 2 years of general education.
So I'm a big believer in, like, the type of experience you have is based on your own mindset. Now, are there circumstances that are better, worse, whatever, out of your control? There's always going to be that in life, right? And I got a lot of young men that I coach in baseball, and it's like, I play shortstop. It's like, all right, well, do you want to play at the next level? You better learn to play other positions. That way you can get yourself onto the field.
Yep. Always.
All right, and give yourself an opportunity to prove yourself.
Jack of all trades.
Now, it's different for the pros because there's money and there's legacies, and they don't have the long, long, long runway. Not that you do in high school, but the point that I'm getting at is I do think at some level, JK's own expectations of who he is are a little out of whack. Mm. And I would tell
who do you think JK is?
I think in his mind.
Who do you think he thinks he is? Sorry.
I think he thinks in his mind, which I love this about him, by the way. I want to make this clear. I think he thinks he could be a great player in this league. I don't want to say the word superstar or anything like that. I think he thinks he can be an over 20-point-a-night guy if he had 35 minutes to just figure it out over the next couple of years. I think he thinks he could be 20-plus, no doubt about it in his mind, an ascending player.
Do you think most young players feel like that, though, right?
Sure.
Right?
I think a lot of guys do.
Yeah. But you need that confidence, too. Yeah, and that's why you alluded to. You need to have that mindset, yes.
100%. But I also think that he needs to be self-aware enough to realize that, like, on this team, to my analogy about the kid that all want to play shortstop, you're not going to be the shortstop here. Yeah. You're not going to be the main focal point. And now that they got Jimmy, it's even less so. So you need to temper your own expectations and be self-aware and realize, all right, how do I make the best of this situation for the time being? Well, the best thing that you could possibly do, whether you want to go to another team or stay here, is to prove that you can play winning basketball by just maniacally being a unbelievably self-aware defender, aware of where the ball is at all times, not fall asleep off ball, help defense, box out, rebound like crazy. And when the ball gets kicked to you, make smart decisions. You're not going to score 30 points with one bucket. Make the extra pass. Make the extra kick. Cut to the basket without the ball. All the little things. You might only score 8 points a game. Maybe you score 20. Maybe you score 9. But you cannot think that your entire self-worth is just coming through scoring the basketball. That's not going to be the best way to get more minutes on this team and to endear yourself. And if you play a winning brand of basketball, the money and the minutes and all the things that you think are coming will finally come your way. Will you get $40 million a year? You probably won't. But I don't think you're getting $40 million a year the other way either. So I just, he needs to be a little more, he needs to meet in the middle here.
Shout out Jimmy Eat World, the middle. I go in the two C's here. This is where he needs to make his bread and butter. It's efficiency and consistency, which sounds like hard or difficult. I was like, no. Just efficiency and consistency. I don't need the high volume a lot. Now, there's going to be moments where, you know what, maybe Steve Kerr says, you know what, JK, go out there and chuck.
When you put Looney and GP2 and some of these combinations out there, who else do you want creating?
Some non-shooters, exactly.
It's a no-win situation.
Exactly. So there's going to be some moments there where I'm not saying that. But the consistency level, like you're alluding to, you just want to see that game in and game out that he's learning and getting better.
Effort is the only thing that you could control. On the floor, no matter what.
Any life and at work, at the workplace, effort and just energy level. If you could bring that and that positive mental outlook every single game or every single show, as we do.
I don't think his attitude is as bad as people make it out to be.
I actually think his attitude's been pretty damn good. There was like a fake quote that was floating around yesterday about his attitude, like trying to like poke fun at his attitude. I was like, stop.
No, what I will say is I do think there's a problem, not just with him, but he does it as well. But Potts does it too. So arguing mid-play. Get back. Stop crying. Get back and play defense. Go get that loose ball. Stop turning to the official and looking for a bailout. Play through contact.
You know who plays through contact is Dennis in San Francisco.
Hey,
we got a lot of callers on the phones, and we want to get to him. 888-957-9570. What's up, Dennis? You're on with Spadoni and Chasky. How you doing, man?
How you doing, guys? I'm frustrated with hearing stuff about Kuminga. I think that he's a young guy with a lot of talent. Kerr wouldn't play him in the beginning of his career. Jonathan would play. He'd play well, and then he'd put him on the bench. And wouldn't play him for a while. I didn't understand it. That's happened throughout his career. The only time Kuminga got a honest or just a run was last year when Draymond got suspended or there was injuries, and he played well. Jonathan Kuminga is 22 years old. When Steph Curry was 22 years old, he averaged 36 minutes a game and 17 points a game. Kuminga is averaging 25 minutes a game, 10 to 11 minutes less than Curry, and averaging 1 point less than Curry at 22 years old. So look at the stats. The kid needs a break. He's got a world of talent. They've done a horrible job of developing him and Moody. You look at the guys they've drafted, Wiseman, Kuminga, Moody. How did they get developed? Poole got punched out of town, and, I thought they did a horrible job with Wiseman, but maybe Wiseman wasn't going to make it anyway. But they've done a horrible job with Moody and Kuminga. Now the fan base wants to put all kinds of responsibility on them. You know, now we didn't play you before, but now you should play and you got to play well or we want you out of here. The kid is developing. The Warriors are doing a lousy job developing young talent or picking it out of the draft. They should have, maybe they should have drafted Franz Wagner and Alperen Sekun instead of Kuminga and Moody. Maybe we've all ever offered those two guys.
But here's what I would say to you. Franz has played more minutes than Moody and Kuminga combined in their careers.
Yeah.
I'll say that again. Franz has played more minutes than Moody and Kuminga combined up until this year. That's a lot of minutes for one guy.
Dennis, I get the Steph thing, what he was trying to do, but the comparison is there. It's not a comparison because the expectation levels of both those teams are completely different. The expectation level of the Warriors since Jonathan Kuminga's been here, it's basically been playoffs or championships.
Do you really?
Let me
stop you there. Do you think if they don't win a championship, it's on JK? Because I really think it's way deeper than that.
I don't think that, but if they don't go on a deep playoff run, people will blame him, yes. I'm just telling you what
it
is.
Did this to Jordan Poole.
I'm telling you that's what's going to happen.
I know. You're not wrong. People will do this. We're a couple years removed. Why did the Warriors lose to the Lakers a couple years ago? Was it because of Jordan Poole?
No. It's because they didn't have the size and the shooting.
They weren't good enough.
Yeah.
Okay? Now,
well, they'll play the refs, too. They're the refs were part of it. So.
But they weren't good enough at the end of the day. Was JP a part of that? Absolutely, he was a part of that. But he wasn't the reason they didn't win.
Their role play, Lonnie Walker and Austin Reeves stepped up. There you go. That's the difference between winning and losing series, is the role players and the others. Okay. Like that's
so, yeah. Let's go to the last year, okay? Why did you not make the playoffs last year? Was it because of Clay? No.
No.
The team wasn't good enough.
The team was...
So if they don't win this year, it's not because of JK, okay? It's because the team doesn't play well enough, all right? I'm not saying that he isn't a factor in that. I'm not saying he's not a slice of the pie. But to think that it's all on one of these guys, whether it's Clay, whether it's Kuminga, Jordan Poole going back years ago, that's just so unfair. That's not how teams win and lose. Teams win and lose.
But we always have to have a scapegoat.
And that's stupid.
It's just society, unfortunately.
I know. You're right. It's just stupid to me.
Draymond Green, after the game, he says, you know what? They didn't show up.
It came out like we were just going to win the game. And we got diced up defensively in the first quarter. And from that point on, you're fighting uphill battle. So everybody's comfortable. And they took it to us. So we got to be better. That starts with me. We were terrible defensively. Once it's the NBA, once guys get into a rhythm, it's hard. They got into a rhythm, had it rolling. It's tough to stop that. So we got to come out ready to play.
I appreciate Draymond being honest because I thought it was a bad game. But again, I'm not going to sit here and crush Dre when he played great for, you know, what, 4 weeks straight?
4 weeks straight. I would say if you're going to crush Dre for anything, it'd be him and Jimmy. But also just, you know, you're the leaders there without Stephen Curry there. And it felt like there was a little bit of lackadaisical effort from those guys early on in the game. And the Hawks sniffed blood. They were at home. They felt good. They felt fresh. And they clapped them. 40 points in the first quarter. They just clapped them. They slapped them.
It felt like Dre was going through the motions for him. He didn't have that same fire. And Okongwu, I thought, took his lunch money.
He was really, that's one of the best.
He's really good.
That's one of the best games I've seen Okongwu play. Like, and again, I'm not watching Atlanta Hawks ball like everyone else, but specifically at the Warriors, he looked incredible.
But I think that's my point. It's like, okay, Dre didn't play that great. Have we had one Dre call this morning?
No.
No, look, Dre gets, you earn a lot of credit by playing well for weeks on end. Teams win and lose. The team didn't bring it. And yeah, JK got benched the second half, but he wasn't the only one.
Speaking of the team, they're the sixth seed right now in the West, the Golden State Warriors. They are a half game up over the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are the seventh spot. The Clippers at the eighth spot. They had a narrow loss to the Oklahoma City Thunder last night, so they're 40-31. Got the Grizzlies. They've lost three in a row at the fifth seed. Then you got the Lakers, Nuggets, Rockets, Thunder, respectively. So right now you're flirting with a play-in or playoff scenario. What's it going to be? 11 games left. Stinker on Saturday. Stephen Curry, he's back with the team. Is he going to play tomorrow? Do you need him to play tomorrow? There's a lot baked into that. We're going to talk about that tomorrow as well. We'll probably know by the show tomorrow if Steph's going to play, I would assume. And again, Steve Kerr.
Why would he go on a flight?
Right. Like, there's a lot. Exactly. But again, they're staying in Miami for 5 days, so there is a lot baked into that.
I don't want to miss Wet Willies.
Right? That must be awesome. God, that must be.
I think they shut down Wet Willies. I don't even know if it's still around.
What is Wet Willies?
It was a place Lil Wayne used to rap about.
Oh, Young Moolah, baby. Draymond Green. They got 11 games left. I give myself a 3 for that. It wasn't bad.
Gangsters
bad loss. Not to get terrible loss. When you're in the position we're in, we got a chance to compete for something. 11 games left with everything to play for. You shouldn't have a loss like this. Too much on the line. Got to win the games you're supposed to win. Obviously, Steph's out. Still a game we should win. So, terrible loss.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Terrible I started loss. Doing the rap line. Gangsters don't die. They get chubby and they move to Miami. I move to Miami. I'm banned from Wet Willies.
There you go.
That's the Lil Wayne. Like him and Birdman, they got some.
He's got so many bars. Lil Wayne is so good. Wee, wee, wee. Morgan and Morgan Hill wants to join the conversation on Jonathan Kuminga.
Morgan and Morgan Hill.
That's right. It's Morgan Square.
Is this
morning.
Morgan Wallen?
This is the Morgan Roast. How about that? What's up, Morgan?
Hey, guys. Yeah, hey, thanks for taking my call. I like hearing all the defense of Jonathan Kuminga, but I want to present three reasons why I think the fan base has frustrations with JK. So hear me out. First thing, he complained about Kerr not working out for him and the amount of minutes he was getting earlier in the season, you know, that complaining, you know, all, you know, places a shorter leash on the fan base psyche on you. I think even though he's right to complain, right? He's got infinite potential, and to fulfill that potential, he's going to need to play. But I think when you contrast that with the way Moses Moody has handled his kind of minutes frustrations, it just places Kuminga in a poorer light. So that's one. And then two, I think his shot selection, while Shapke, I like your defending that, you know, his three, that some of them are like dump off three that he has to take. But, you know, we've heard Steve Kerr so many times over the last year or two talk about what JK needs to do, which is not shoot threes and to just attack the basket. And he was getting better at that before his injury, but it seems like he's regressed a little bit on his shot selection since he's been back, taking a lot more threes.
I would agree.
Where he maybe could have just... Yeah, and so I think that's reason number two. And then I think the third reason that kind of compounds it all is that we all realize that he's the heir apparent to the post-Curry future. And so we all, in the back of our minds, need him or want him to work out so bad. And when you see these characteristics, you kind of, there's a feeling of uncertainty. But that goes along with the unreal expectations that we've placed on him as a fan base. And he's still so young, and I still am optimistic that he can make it. But when you could put these three things together, I think I can see why the fans are so frustrated with it.
Thank you, Morgan.
Good call.
Real quick, I'm not even thinking about life after Stephen Curry.
No one is.
No one. And I don't care what takes place after Stephen Curry. We put a lifeline on this thing for the next couple years. That's it. Like, I'm not even thinking about life after Stephen Curry. If fans are still thinking about that, and that's how they're viewing Jonathan Kuminga, I don't know what you're doing.
Did you ever think of Jordan Poole as the heir apparent to Steph Curry?
It's Jonathan Kuminga's not. There's no heir to Stephen Curry.
No.
Like, that doesn't happen.
The Celtics have been looking for the next Larry Bird.
Like, come on,
man.
And
they just won a championship.
Right? Like,
and is Jason Tatum the heir apparent to whatever? I'm just asking.
No, he's aligned. He's in the
he's
long line
guy.
Of... He's his own guy.
His own guy.
He's the long line of great Celtics players.
Yes.
Like, that's what he is. He's not Larry Bird. Right? You're not going to find, like, another Kobe Bryant, like, or another Michael Jordan. Those things don't
Luca,
happen.
You better be the heir apparent to LeBron.
Oh my God! Well, he kind of plays like him, except that
no,
not
but
the
he's his
like,
own
but,
guy.
But like, he's his own. Like, exactly. Can we just? Yeah. Like, in the whole the two timeline thing. There's no two timeline. There's one timeline now. Like, it's all morphed into one thing.
Every business in America has seasoned veterans with people that are newer to the company that they're trying to get up to speed.
I have a seasoned veteran on the line right now, Joe Shasky. Her name is Jan in Mountain View.
Hey, Jan.
She's very seasoned. What's up, Jan? You're on the Morning Roast. How you doing?
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
You sound crystal clear. You sound great.
Okay. I'm going to piggyback on something one other person said, and I'm going to put this blame on Kerr and Jimmy regarding JK. You're talking about, you know, throwing a hand grenade and then chucking it up at the last time or something. Well, if you take a look at the last couple of games, you'll see that, you know, Jimmy gets the ball, and I know that he plays more isolated defense than or offense than the other players do, and so he holds on to the ball too long, and then he throws this ball to the next player and expects them to score or whatever, and I'm thinking that that's what's been going on with why Jimmy can't play with JK, because Butler holds on to the ball and throws him a grenade and expects him to score. And then when JK doesn't score or it doesn't go in the hoop, well, he gets frustrated. And then, you know, it kind of, you know, makes him feel like he's the reason that they're losing or that they're not playing like Kerr wants him to. And so then Kerr brings him out of the game. And I don't think that's right for him either. And I understood that Kerr was going to bring JK back slowly and integrate where Jimmy was going to work with him and they were going to succeed. Well, that hasn't happened. And I'm a little disappointed that Kerr didn't, you know, implement that better to work with Jimmy onto JK, because that's part of the reason too. And when Curry's out, this is what you get. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan.
Thanks, Jan.
So one thing that he needs to work on, Jonathan Kuminga, is moving without the ball.
She was basically saying, and I love Jana Mountain View, just she feels that Kerr is not bringing him up slowly enough.
Okay. So here's the other, I think this is where she was going, and maybe I'm wrong, but this is where I think she was going. There's nothing worse as a player who is not a star player than to walk on eggshells and to play any sport with the fear of I'm going to get yanked. Mm. I don't care what level it is. I see a lot of high school players, and in fact, I know a bunch, and I've watched plenty of basketball where you get these role players who don't get a lot of minutes. They go out there, and at the first mistake, you can feel they're tentative to make a mistake. You can't play that way, number one. But number two,
I did that.
They're so afraid. They're so afraid to make a mistake that they're not playing free basketball. And then they do make a mistake. They look over their shoulder. They're out of the game.
Sixth grade.
You've lost that kid.
Sixth grade, I traveled my very first possession, and I got benched, and I was lost. The rest of the year.
Key,
no, I was that kid. I was.
The best teams. The best Thanks, teams. Man. Empower people to go out there, and it's not empower for success. Empower to play through failure. That is the number one thing. And so the games are hard enough. People are going to second guess themselves. They're going to over-criticize, whatever. I do feel like Kuminga at times does play under Steve Kerr like he's on eggshells. And I think that he's afraid to make a mistake.
Yeah.
And I would say to JK, like, look, JK, you're going to get yanked no matter what. Yeah. You might as well just go out there and do everything you can. And I think Moses Moody's done a great job of, you know what? Hey, I'm only going to be out here a short period of time. I might as well make the most of it. I think Moses Moody has handled things the right way a lot. A lot. And I think JK could learn a lot of things from Moses Moody.
I was my very first at bat, too, in Little League. I got hit. On the wrist. I hit a lot. I guess I crowded the plate and no one told me to back up at all, but I just keep getting hit all the time. I got on base. My dad, I was like, I got hit twice in my very first game in Little League. I was like 11 or 10 or whatever it was.
Was your dad standing right behind home plate?
No, he wasn't.
Because that's the worst. No, all right, little Timmy, keep your elbow up.
He was in the bleachers. He was fine. He was lurking.
Squish the bug. Mike died.
But you know, like, as Peak Boss Spadoni, he got a spin of positive. He's like, hey, you're on base percentage, kid. Like, you're doing a great job. And you just keep going. I was like, Dad, this isn't fun for me. These guys can't throw straight, and I keep getting hit. I don't want to play anymore. So, no, you're going to keep playing. He made a commitment, right? So, it's like, you're going to keep doing it. I was like, my confidence was gone after I got hit a couple
confidence
times.
Confidence is huge in sports. I don't care whether you're a 10-year veteran or, you know, a guy who's in his fourth year like Kuminga or a rookie like Quentin Post. Confidence is everything. We've seen it with the Warriors. How many random role players have lost confidence and they're unplayable?
Well, Buddy Hield at times lost confidence. He feels like unplayable. He's a seasoned veteran.
How about young TJD? The young TJD has very little confidence right now around the rim, right? On anything that's not a dunk.
Yep.
All right. Andrew Wiggins is a great example. You could feel the confidence zap out of him as the free throw percentages dipped and dipped and dipped. And he was less aggressive.
Yep.
Like confidence, psyche, however you want to phrase it, it's a big thing. And right now, I don't think he has a lot of confidence.
I hate to go Hawaiian and bring up the punch again, but Jordan Poole, after that, the confidence,
he was totally
it was gone. It was different, but again, confidence. Like it was 100%. Shot. It was gone. But that was also a trust level.
The
Jordan
aura
Poole.
Was gone.
Yeah, the aura was gone. And he's actually North Carolina State now, the aura.
Talk to him. He's aura. This is aura right here.
He's in North Carolina now as he signed over there with the new head coach. I forget his name. Will Wade or something like that. Sushi Steve wants to join in the conversation.
Love me some sushi.
And Sushi Steve, he has my back when he says he wants sushi at 9:40 in the morning. He knows what's up. What's up, Sushi Steve? How you doing, man?
What's up, guys? So listen. I'm gonna be a little bit negative about Kuminga. Like, I haven't been a fan of Kuminga in a long time, and I know that, you know, he's super young, and I see all the positives. But, you know, like, I watch every single one of his minutes. Like, the guy without the ball, like his IQ is very low. His basketball IQ is very low. He can't dribble. Like, Jonathan Kuminga downhill, you know, full speed downhill. You give him a bounce pass, the guy's dunking it. That's the best thing he does. But, I mean, he bombs up threes. It's like, when the ball's like moving around the offense, and the ball gets him, and he'll just stop, and he'll try to do an ISO. He's not a creator. He's not I go back and forth. I'm just like a normal Warrior fan where it's like, oh, give him time. He needs more minutes and this and that. Look at Moody. Yeah, I agree a little bit of that. But, you know, I'm one that loves Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr for president, no doubt about it. But, yeah, I just think the best thing we can do with Kuminga is sign him to a fair deal and then shop him in the summertime. I don't think he's the one. I mean, he's not the one. That's it.
That's Sushi Steve.
See, we're asking him to be a creator. Who thinks that he's a creator? Is Gary Payton Jr., Gary Payton II, excuse me, do you want him creating?
No.
Where does Gary Payton, when GP2's on the floor, does he catch the ball at the top of the key?
No.
Almost never.
Literally going to be at the bottom of the basket during a quick layup or something or a dunk, and then he's
or in the corner.
On the corner.
Three. Or in the corner.
There you go.
So, again, by the offense. And this is on J.K. too, though, moving without the ball. J.K. gets the ball where? Top of the key. It's the same thing with Klay Thompson. Did I want Klay Thompson as a creator? No. Yeah. No, not. And, no, he got a little better at dribbling. He got a little better at playmaking. Got a little better at passing as the years went on. But I don't want him creating either. Not everyone is born to be a creator.
No, no, they're not. 888-957-9570.
I mean, do you want Giannis at the top of the key with the ball? Not really.
No. That's okay. Like, not everyone's Luka Doncic.
I'm not saying that Kuminga's Giannis, by the way.
No, he's not. Well,
I'm just using different examples.
Well, no, there's certain players that is their skill set and certain players where it's not. There's literally, you create a player, you could be a ball handler, you could be a playmaker.
Yeah.
Like, it is rare that you have, like, a Jimmy Butler player, but even Jimmy Butler has his limitations. He's a great playmaker. You can create things for others and do that. Can't shoot the three ball. Can't shoot it at all. Stinks. Horrible. 1-7 on Saturday. That's okay.
The thing everyone says, he can't play with Wiggins. He can't play with Butler. I think he can't play with GP2 and Looney. That's the big thing no one wants to bring up, because he needs to be in the spot of where either Looney is or where GP2 is in that dunker's role. That's where I think that's my biggest problem, is those guys can't play together.
888-957-9570. We got about 10 minutes left in the show here, 5 minutes before Fast Five. Let's squeeze in a call. We can. Tony is in Virginia Beach, wants to join in the conversation. What's up, Tony? How you doing?
I'm doing all right, guys. Look, I just want to say about Kuminga, if you look at his stats before he got hurt, he was averaging 20 points a game. He was averaging almost 6 rebounds a game. And his plus-minus was better than Wiggins and was better than a lot of guys that were coming off the bench. But you look, what you need to look at is how the other guys were playing. During that time, Pods was shooting less than 30%.
Mm-hmm.
Buddy was shooting less than 30% from three. Steph had a 2-point game during that time. Everybody was playing like trash except for Kuminga. And when, if you go back to last year after he complained, when he was actually given minutes, he was scoring. He was doing what he needed to do. But if you look at, you know, he, like you say, Steph needs help. Everybody has to do their part. Now, after Jimmy came, other things changed too. Quentin Post started getting minutes. And he started hitting threes, spreading the floor out. Then Buddy started getting his percentage from three up. Pods got his percentage from three up. All the other players started playing well. So that's why the Warriors started winning.
Are you taking a walk right now?
Yeah, you all right, Tony?
I am.
Yeah, okay, so all right. I was worried for you, man. I thought you were getting emotional. Then I said, maybe he's taking a walk.
No, I'm good. I'm just
still real to me.
I'm just a little hyped up and walking around.
I feel you.
You know, but I was just looking at, you know, when you take Kuminga in a vacuum and look at, well, he did this, but they didn't win. You got to also include everybody else.
I would agree with that.
That's all I'm saying.
No, I'm with you. Look. Teams win and lose.
Yeah.
It's never one player.
Yeah.
You know? And so, like, I was watching film on Twitter. It was popping up. And it was, wow, look how good James Worthy was, right? It's an example. James Worthy is one of the greatest players of all time. Yeah. When we talk about the Showtime Lakers, no one ever brings him up.
He's literally, it was the number one overall pick.
One of the greatest players. And by the way, played with Jordan at Carolina.
Yeah.
Like, one of the greatest players of all time.
3-time NBA champion, Finals MVP. That's with Kareem and Magic, and he's still a Finals MVP. 7-time All Star, top 75 player,
was unreal.
NCAA champion.
Yeah, it was in the wrong spot at the right time when the ball got past him in the Carolina. I still don't know who he was guarding in that situation in the Carolina game.
Didn't matter.
But again, all I'm saying is that like teams win and lose. Yep. Okay, and the point that I'm getting at is that, yeah, Magic was great and Kareem were great. They had James Worthy as well. And then eventually they got Byron Scott and they got all these other guys, you know. It's just teams win and lose. Boston right now has a $400
million
payroll.
$400 million.
They are loaded. They're top to bottom loaded. That's why they're so good. Cleveland right now, why are they so good? Top to bottom, they are stacked. I mean, Ty Jerome is out of his mind.
Ty Jerome, Warriors legend, baby.
Even the guy who I love more than most, Max Strus, is a really good, solid player.
He's good. He shoots threes.
You know, like, look at OKC. How deep is OKC? 8-9?
Like one of the deepest
teams. Could be 11 if they wanted to.
Right? Did you watch any of that game last night? Them and the Clippers. That was to me, watching that game, I was like, oh, God. Like, are we going to look at that Thunder team like we looked at the Nuggets a couple years ago, or you looked at the Warriors in their first run, and it's just like, yeah, maybe it's just their year. Maybe they do all the way, and they win the whole damn thing, and they're that good. I still got to wait to see it, because, again, that's what we do in society. You got to prove it to me first. But in a given series, it is hard for me to take any other team but the Thunder in the West. But when you have LeBron, when you have Stephen Curry, when you have Jimmy Butler, when you have all these other players, when you have Jokic and Murray, it's like, yeah, they're going to go with the guys still that I know have won it, right? I got to give it to them. But if Shea's going to be Shea in the playoffs, that's going to be a whole nother monster, Joe Shasky. Oh, man, what a show. Jonathan Kuminga, huh? He's not the next Draymond Green or Jimmy Garoppolo where you just throw out the name and you get calls. But exactly, we'll see, because it kind of feels like that today. We just throw out Jonathan Kuminga and Steve Kerr. And the phone line's lit up. By the way, Steve Kerr, 3 o'clock with Willard and Dibs today, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. You are not going to want to miss that. And by the way, tomorrow, that's going to be a juicy one. Revenge game. We've circled this one here, Joe Shasky. Miami, Jimmy Butler's back. Is Steph going to play? Is he not going to play? Jonathan Kuminga now, like the expectations there. Draymond Green's going to get out with someone. Is Draymond Green going to tussle with Andrew Wiggins? That's what I want to know. No? No? Fast Five?
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
I'll start.
Sure.
I want to defend the San Francisco Giants.
Oh.
Kyle Harrison's just not good right now.
Yeah. We had a Kyle Harrison conversation built in. Maybe we pick it up tomorrow or something, but Jonathan Kuminga took off. Yeah, he's got option down. Kyle Harrison, the guy that people said you can't trade if you want to trade for Juan Soto, that Kyle Harrison? That guy?
Every year in the minors, he had less innings pitched than just the major league output last year of Paul Skenes. I want to say that clearly.
Paul Skenes, by the way, one of the great pitchers already, was in like MVP conversations.
Okay, but he also pitched in the minors,
yeah,
and then threw 133 innings in the majors and got shut down at the end.
Yes.
Okay? He has thrown more innings in the majors in 1 year than any level of Kyle Harrison. So Kyle has a long way to go. I like the kid. I'm rooting for the kid. I think him being the number one left-handed prospect in all of baseball, we set him up, and I'm guilty of it as well. He's not that good. I told you guys off the rip, Hayden Birdsong needs to be in the rotation over Kyle Harrison, and they made the right decision. Credit the Giants for not messing around, putting him down in AAA. Don't come up with a fake injury. He needs the reps.
And you know what it tells me? It tells me these guys, it's a crapshoot when it comes to the draft, when it comes to some of these players. They might be good. They might not be good. You know what? I know Bryce Eldridge, he might be a thing. He probably won't play a lot this year, or if any, with the big league club. If I have an opportunity at the deadline, and I'm competing, and I can go get Vlad Jr., and Bryce Eldridge is part of that deal, yeah, I'm going to get Vlad Jr. Sorry. Like, that's what that tells me, Kyle Harrison. What's up? What you got, Carter?
Mine's simple for the day. I don't know if you guys probably
your voice sounds so much better, by the way.
Thank
it sounds
you.
Great.
Yeah, I'm
nice.
Working on it and working okay. on it. That Oregon Arizona game last night, man. I want to shout out Caleb Love on Arizona. That kid is a stud, man. I think he's going to do something in the next level. Hopefully, I don't have to bring that back on Walk It Back Wednesday, but I think he's headed for somewhere.
The only Caleb I acknowledge is little Caleb at St. Cecilia, seventh grader, who pitched a gem on Saturday, and we won, come from behind, 3-2 against Town School.
Not Caleb Williams.
Let's go, Caleb.
Caleb Locke, I think his last name is. Okay. I might be pronouncing it wrong.
All right, sure.
Caleb's a baller, though. Love
There's
that
not
guy.
A lot of famous Calebs, so if you're going to try to be like the next big Caleb, you got an opportunity to do so.
Caleb Martin.
There you go. There you go.
My final thought is I feel like today's really just showing just how intense the spotlight is on Jonathan Kuminga right now. It just feels like it's getting a little too far with him, and that being said, my God, our guy needs a big night tomorrow night against Andrew Wiggins in the Miami Heat. So I'm rooting for JK, but it's at a point right now where it's, you got 11 games left. Is this guy going to be a part of this rotation or not? And it's just, it's a really unfortunate spot that he finds himself in. But hey, I'm still holding out hope for the guy. And Kyle Harrison.
You know, I always am hopeful of the U.S. men's national soccer team. And I liked when they hired Mauricio Pochettino as their new manager. You know, he came over from the likes of Tottenham, amongst other English Premier Leagues or Serie A or whatever. You lose 1-0 to Panama. Panama? How big is Panama, Joe Shasky? Look it up. How many people live in Panama?
I know that we like to stick our money there when we're on the run from the feds. All the movies, they always go to Panama.
You lose to Canada then in the third place game.
Joe, I'm so tired of hearing from you soccer people.
You know why?
This is our year. In 20 years, USA soccer. You guys have been saying that for 40 years.
Do you want to be rooting for Team USA when it's the World Cup next year at Levi Stadium? Do you want to be rooting for them? You got to start paying attention now then, Joe Shasky. Don't jump on the bandwagon next year when you're poo-pooing me now about it.
That's what we will all do.
I think if you're from the country, you could jump on the bandwagon.
Exactly. You can't. I'm not allowed.
I'm an American citizen. I'm allowed to be a bandwagon.
I'm actually not allowing it. You guys don't get to.
You soccer elites.
You're revoking our U.S. soccer fandom.
Because you guys aren't all in right now, then you're not all in next year. That's all I'm saying. That's what I thought. Yeah, you're not even
I'm still going to jump on the bandwagon.
You're going to be going to a Giants game during the summer instead of watching a World Cup game over at Levi's.
Yeah, probably.
There you go. And that tells all you need to know.
Yeah, it'll be more fun.
The biggest sporting event in the history of the world.
It's soccer.
And Sam Lubman wants to watch Bryce Eldridge go 0-3.
If I see another soccer player, an adult soccer player, kick a ball onto the field that we're playing a game, our little baseball team playing a game, I swear to God my head's going to explode. My boy Brent, he's like, hey, Pele, get that ball off the field. The kids are playing. It was like a great delivered line. Great line. And these adults, dude.
And that was Fast Five, brought to you by Xfinity. At home or on the go, you'll get the fastest internet to all your devices. Steiny and Guru are next, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.